Hello, and welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers and the literary arts in Astoria and the Lower Columbia region. I'm your guest host, Asher Finch. Aired the second Monday of each month at 9 a.m., River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing. We talk about what motivates writers to do the work they do and ask them what they have learned through their creative practice. Today, I am so excited to have with me Kama O'Connor. Kama is a writing instructor at Clatsop Community College. She's lived in the Astoria area for about a year and a half now with her daughter and their dog. She's published various short stories, poems, and essays in literary magazines for well over a decade. But for the past 5 years, she's been tinkering with romance novels and enjoying the happily ever after that life seems bent at holding at an arm's length. She is the faculty advisor for Rain magazine and a newcomer to Rick's Poetry Night. Most of all, she considers herself lucky to be surrounded by so much water, art in writing, and an incredible community here in Astoria. Hello, Kama. Thank you
hey,
for joining
Asher,
me.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me on River Writers.
I appreciate you so dearly. Okay, so welcome. How are you? What do you have going on?
Oh gosh, what a loaded question. So many things going on right now, Asher. This is perfect timing for River Writers because we are about to launch our 55th edition of Rain magazine up at Clatsop Community College. So I know that this is going to reach readers, I believe, on the 14th.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this edition live, we have our Rain magazine launch party on the 18th. So really right now, my focus as a teacher is completely on making sure that launch party goes now that we've gone to print. The class is over. We've started spring term. So from a teacher writer lens, we're rocking and rolling and we're really excited about this edition and all of the contributors. We had a really incredible team this year. I know last year you got to be a part of it with some of them.
Yeah, absolutely amazing to be able to pass that torch onto this next generation of students though.
Oh yeah, and you were such a great leader. Your managing editor, Jess Ball, is actually our editor-in-chief this year, and she made as beautiful a magazine as y'all made last year, so we're really impressed with it. But we miss you. We miss your spark in the classroom. We had a really great team this year. You'd have loved it.
I miss all of you so much. It is so interesting to be behind the curtain this year, and like not behind the curtain, but like in the audience of it. Like I don't know what's happening. I haven't seen the magazine yet. And I'm so thrilled to be able to see that and be a part of that on, okay, again, it is Friday the 18th
from 2 to 5
in Toller Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Food and drinks provided.
Some snacks. Yeah, because it's not dinner time like it was last year.
Of
and,
course.
And, you know, to our listeners, and I was able to speak to some folks at Rick's open mic last night. It was their last night having it at Winecraft. Rebecca is moving that space on to new owners. And so we were able to talk to a lot of the contributors to Rain Magazine over the years about the shift to move it from 2 to 5, because we've got students, right? And a lot of them have after school jobs and they need to be present for families. So recognizing again that this is a class, we made that shift. So we apologize to listeners who were expecting an evening event. But yeah, because of that, we'll have some snacks and some drinks, but nothing too crazy. We're there to hear everybody read and share their amazing poems with us. They're really great.
And for those who may not know, who are tuning in, who aren't familiar with Rain Magazine, do you want to talk just really briefly about what that is?
Sure, man. I really dove in without any context. So thanks. Yeah, Rain Magazine this is our 55th edition. It's a literary magazine that's published once a year by a class up at Clatsop Community College. And I'm the faculty advisor this year. We've had so many over the years. Ryan Hume, Nancy Cook, Julie Brown, and many more that have done wonderful things to move the magazine to where it is. But the class is called Literary Publishing, and it invites students who may or may not be involved in the writing world to take part in putting together a literary magazine from start to finish. So, you know, culling all of the poems and the short stories, essays, art, photography that go into the magazine, inviting submissions from the community. You know, this is a community event. It's a really cool partnership that way. And then making some really hard decisions about what the theme is going to be, and if pieces meet the theme, if they meet the quality that the folks are hoping to have in the magazine. So it's all student run and driven, and what a cool hands-on experience for these students to take as they move on. I mean,
and what a beautiful magazine to be able to hold and look at. And it's a great way, I think, for students to also be able to publish for the first time.
100%. Yeah. So all of the students who are in the class get the opportunity. They're certainly not required to submit a poem, a short story, an essay, or a photograph or piece of art. So yeah, I know. And this year, what's so cool, Asher, you're in there solely as a contributor. So you had to go through the gauntlet of sending it into the editors. And it was neat to see that on my end, you know, having you go through the program last year and make such a beautiful magazine, to then see you submit your work as a professional now that you're in school. It was a real full circle moment for me. And I can't wait to have you do that not as a student, right?
It'll be amazing. Yeah. No,
so
it was
good.
Great.
Awesome.
I love that. Okay. So that's where you're at academically with your work.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit more about your personal writing practice. Write a little genre diverse, I would say.
Yeah.
I know you first and foremost as an instructor, but then through your romance writing and I've read your literary fiction a little bit while taking one of your classes.
Yep.
But I heard that you have some other things you're working on.
I do, yeah. So, you know, it's so interesting as an author. I find myself getting into these, I don't want to call them ruts. Ruts assume that they're negative, but maybe patterns of writing. And my patterns right now are largely geared towards what you mentioned. My romance novels have taken up full bandwidth in my head. I've got so many contracts in the works for that, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But then the cool thing that happens is writing and reading begets writing and reading other things. And so I can't turn off my brain when it sends me something that I'm going through, and I process it, like, you know, as we move through life and things happen to us and we experience people in our lives going through things. And it's been manifesting in poems for me lately. So, you know, some of it's showing up on the page in a romance novel, as character development. That's how it's always kind of happened for me. But I'm new to this poetry thing. So I've been working on a collection. It's called Spoonfuls. And it's been really neat to turn my brain into that lyrical brain. And I think it's influenced my novel writing. It's influenced my literary fiction. And I haven't written many essays lately. You know, I started my journey with publishing in the nonfiction space. So that's something that I don't advertise widely, but I started by writing creative essays and creative nonfiction. And they were very lyrical. So I find myself getting back to that space. So yeah, lots of projects in the works right now.
And living in that poetry brain is such a beautiful way to experience life too.
100%.
For those who are just listening, I know you can't, there's no visuals with radio, but Kama is wearing spoon earrings at the moment.
Yep. And a ring.
It's beautiful and ties so well back to the Spoonfuls.
Thank you.
How, I don't know, serendipitous that this is happening during National Poetry Month, too.
National Poetry Month. We're in April.
We are my Lovely. Favorite month because of the poetry and the romanticization of life.
Oh, my gosh.
It is such a beautiful lens to live under.
100% it is. And it's so, I think that's going to be the really cool part about having the Rain launch this month, is getting to celebrate that way that people live and share their spaces with us. I mean, Rick's last night, Rick's poetry. It's so restorative to hear other people's words, and they're inviting you in for, you know, this brief 5-minute bit of time into their world through their lens. And there's nothing more beautiful. It's incredible.
Poetry is such a beautiful vulnerability. I don't know. It's my favorite way to connect with people.
Agreed.
So speaking of this beauty, this vulnerability, this like writing in practice, you just moved to Astoria about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now.
I know.
Which I love. I'm so glad you're a part of our community now.
Thank you.
Have you found that your writing has changed since moving here?
Absolutely. In fact, it's so funny you say that. I just posted something yesterday on social media. I'm not a big social media poster. And when I do, it tends to be about writing or something like that related. But I had these pictures that I'd been taking either on runs or walks along the river. And yesterday, I had this beautiful run up into the hillside, and there was fog. And when I got home, I wrote a poem about it. And so writing that poem about this made me recognize how much I have let this place infiltrate my writing. And so I think that's responsible for my poetry, truly. I think, you know, I didn't write much of it where I was before because I wasn't inspired by my landscape in the same way, right?
By the daily life.
Correct.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about living here. Yeah.
The water, the elk, the bald eagles. I live in Hammond, so, you know, I encounter
all
of them.
The ocean is like in your backyard.
It's in my backyard. I mean, when I go for a run and need to process something and I head to the water, that's probably why it manifests as a poem. I'm looking out at this incredible landscape and letting it sort of soak in both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this place. But in my post yesterday, I recognize that I think my next round of books are going to be set here. I think they have to be. This place has completely transformed the way I think about place as a character in books. And I've always thought about that, but it started to play a role in how I'm shaping my next couple narratives. Yeah. So, it's shifted.
Well, and place as character is huge, too. I know here, like with the Writers Guild, that was the whole theme of our festival last October with Carl Marlantes.
Yes.
Was the Power of Place, I think, was the name. And this upcoming year, our festival is going to be Power of People, but it's that same, like, how do you tie into these characters? And place as a character is such a beautiful... Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. And I love that that's going to be people. Because I also, like you just mentioned, I think that that's... we could count Astoria, we could count Clatsop County, we could count this hill, this river, this ocean as people in our stories, right?
Even the studio we're in now, like this building that the radio station is in, it's you can count it as a character in the broader story of.
100%.
Yep. So speaking of the influences in your writing and our community, and do you find that your writing is at all influenced by your students' work?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, I find myself influenced daily by everything I do. I am such a sponge. and so my students' writing, 100% it is, you know, but largely what I teach up at the college, I'll teach a creative writing class every term, but I also teach composition. Mm-hmm. What I'm learning and I guess soaking in from my students is their ability to be vulnerable in what they're talking about. So I think in that non-literal sense, yes, I'm observing, right? I'm at all authors, I feel like, have to be incredible readers, number one, and they have to be constant observers of the world around them. And I am. And being around, you know, 50 to 100 new students every term, I'm 100% influenced by them, just like I would be if I passed somebody on the street. But I don't know if you know this. My first foray into romance writing, my first novel ever published was based off of a student paper that he gave out loud. It was called An Occasional Paper. It's kind of like a This I Believe paper if you took my writing classes up at the college. And it just sat with me and sat with me. And at the end of the term, I said, I kind of want to write this story, but, you know, change the characters, make them older. And he gave me permission. So the book is actually dedicated to him and his vulnerability for sharing his story with our class.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it
I
was
didn't
really
know that.
Neat. It was literally influenced by his
directly
story.
Directly by a student. Mm-hmm. So then that's the first published romance book you had.
Correct.
How did you get into romance writing as a genre?
Oh my gosh. By accident, right? Tripped, fell, landed in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think...
Fell head over heels, if you will.
Oh, did I? Absolutely. Well played. Yeah, I did. I was a literary fiction author. I studied literary fiction in my Master's of Fine Arts program. I believed, like, they trained me to believe that that is the only genre worth writing in if you're going to write in fiction, because it's deep and dark and heavy and covers themes. And then one of the women in my program said that she had her novel published, and we thought it was the novel she'd been working on during our Master's of Fine Arts program in Arizona. And she said, you know, very sort of secretly, "No, I publish romance novels on the side." And we gasped, you know, we did the whole, we're in the hallways of this great institution of learning, and you're talking about romance novels like
the
they're
end
serious,
of literature.
Right? That's it. I can't believe it. You've fallen into the dark side. And she said, it's the most fun I've ever had. I dare you to give it a try. And this was right before Christmas break. I said, yeah, why not? Like, what else do I have going on? We have a month off when we're university instructors. And so I took that challenge, and in a month I wrote a novel, and it was the most fun I've ever had writing. She was dead on. And more than that, I recognized that my novel was dark and twisty and filled with themes, and just because it centered around these two people trying to find their ways to each other and through the muck of life to get there, it was no less impactful than any of the literary fiction I'd written about, you know, the war in Afghanistan or you know, betrayal or loss, right? All of that shows up on these pages too. So it transformed more than just my writing and my genre. It transformed me as an author to expand what's possible. So I never went back. I've been writing. I got an agent. I write for Harlequin. I have a book due every month. I mean, it's sort of
beautiful.
Obscene.
Yeah. Well, and then I think there is such an expectation of writing to have to be this really dark, twisty, it's not worth sharing if it doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
Which is a huge conversation in writing and literary spaces. But it reminds me back to, like, Ross Gay has the collection A Book of Delights.
Oh, I love that.
And it's just finding the joy and the beauty and looking for an outlet is so important to have that romanticized escape.
Absolutely. And the things that I've learned about the genre and what it gives back to readers through this, because I have no right as an author to say what a reader wants to read or not. I can say as an author what I find to be a gift to put out into the world. But when it comes to what readers want, they have been loud and clear that they want that aspirational, inspirational story. And, you know, romance in all of its iterations, right? Love stories like Nicholas Sparks writes, or the ones with happily ever afters, rom-coms, all of it, right? They were the number one seller, bar none, since its inception in the 70s as a standalone genre. But then COVID happened and we went into lockdown and it exploded. People wanted to know they could pick up something and have this happily ever after guaranteed at the end, right? So in this, in the midst of life being dark and heavy, kind of like it feels right now, people are flocking to those stories. And so again, as a reader, I'm not going to get between what a reader wants to read. And and if anything, I'd love to be a part of giving them that joy and providing them that escape for a moment. And I don't think it's an escape that's calorieless, right? We tend to think of things that way, like it's so light and fluffy. But I think there's a lot of depth in characters getting over their internal selves in order to be available to another person. That's huge. That's the human condition, isn't it?
Absolutely. For those who are just tuning in, this is River Writers with KMUN, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria. I am here with Kama O'Connor, romance novelist, poet, instructor at Clatsop Community College, and a dear friend of mine.
Yeah, thanks, Asher.
So that's what you write. That's how you got into writing. How does this writing practice manifest in your life? Do you write daily? When do you write? What does that look like?
Oh, gosh, great question. I write every day. Mm-hmm. I say that on a day that I actually didn't do a lot of writing. I wake up every morning between 5 and 5:15. I'm to the computer by 5:36 at the latest. And that practice for me was a result of me. I actually just gave this assignment in class today to my nonfiction students to chronicle when they write and how they feel when they write and really look at that in a writing log over a span of time and try different times of day, see what mm-hmm. works for them. And I recognize that being a teacher, I know a lot of authors, they write late into the night because that's the only time that they have for themselves. For me, the only time I have to myself is in the morning, and that's the best time for my brain to be fresh and to think of these ideas and to put them on the page. So I'm a morning writer, hands down. That's for my novels. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to poetry, I write when the moment hits. I have been known to dictate while I drive, like, hey, Siri, record this, you know, sort of dark and twisty manifestation of all of my thoughts right now. And then I'll go home and turn it into something later. But that's easy because it's palatable, it's compact, and I can put it aside. Novel writing has to be methodical for me. I have to train my brain. I walk on a treadmill. While I write, I have this little standing desk, and I show up to the page the same way every day. And it's my way of tricking my body into those days that I don't want to do it, and I have to. I've it's a good problem to have, but I've made these deadlines with my publishers, and that's that's not something I can slack on. So it has to be that dedicated practice. But
so it is like training a muscle, almost like your brain is a muscle, and you are having to train and
you bet
every single day showing up to that.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, I do something really similar with my poetry, where I will put my phone. I do it when driving. I'll just start a recording of a video of the whatever road I'm driving on and speak to it.
Oh, that's
so that I can
brilliant.
Go back later. I don't know. I find something about inflection with poetry when you're brainstorming is really important.
Absolutely. And I really love the idea of a video. And then you can tap back into that visceral experience that you were having.
Yes.
For revisions, for, you know, any of those thoughts that maybe didn't percolate all the way through. Yeah.
And going back to place as a character, sometimes what you're seeing is so important to triggering that thought.
Oh, I love that. Thanks. I might have to borrow that.
I recommend it. There's quite a bit of my writing practice I've borrowed from you, so it's kind of cool to have something to be able to give back.
We're colleagues now. Look at us go.
Is there anything else you want to share about your writing, your practice? Like,
no, I think the only thing in a space like this I feel I guess is my place to or using a soapbox, I guess. I've got active listeners. I might have lost y'all already when I said romance novel, but if you're still here, I think what I would love to leave you all with is that thing that it took me a long time to get myself, which is that it is okay to write whatever it is that's on your heart, on your mind. There's no genre that's off limits. There's no topic that's off limits. It's not pedantic to write about love. It's not any less academic. So I'm really encouraged by this community. I think the other beautiful part and way that I've been influenced in my writing isn't just the physical place here. I am surrounded. I mean, last night, what were there, 40, 50
Those
people
events are
at
packed.
Rick's, right? And it, there's every something
month.
Every night. Well, every month, and there's something every night I'm learning, right, around the arts in this community. Mm-hmm. So keep doing what you're doing. We're all feeding off of each other. And, I know it's going to be interesting to look at the arts and where they go in our community, not in our community and in our country. But we keep doing the work, right?
Yeah.
So keep doing the work, and I'll
Showing
see
up
you
for
out
it every
there.
Day.
Yeah.
So for people who are looking to find your work, you publish through Harlequin for your romances, but that's not under Kama O'Connor.
Correct. Yeah, thanks. So I write under Christine Lynn, Christine with a K-R. And I write for Harlequin. Thule publishes my work as well. And then all of my other literary fiction is either under Kama O'Connor or Kama Shockey. And those go back, 12, 13 years at this point. But mm-hmm. Yeah, all my novels are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, the usual.
Great. And when your poetry collection comes out, will that be under Christine Lynn or is that going to be under Kama O'Connor?
That's a Kama O'Connor one. Yeah, great. Thank you.
So when we're keeping our eyes peeled,
I will let you know.
Spoonfuls by Kama O'Connor.
Yes, absolutely. Or
when's your next, or when did your last romance come out?
Yesterday, actually.
Okay.
So I had an April 1st. It's so funny, just the way that I've stacked things. I had a book due yesterday for Harlequin, and a book came out with Thule, Take Me Away, Cowboy.
Another
cowboy series. It's the first in a series of four, so it's a four-book contract, and two comes out kind of soon. I just got the cover for it, and let me just tell you, getting the cover art for your book, there's no high like it. You all will be the first to hear this. I just signed another two-book contract with Harlequin. So
amazing.
Even though yesterday I turned in the last one on my old contract, a few days before that, I signed a new one. So I have two new books due July and October, so you'll see them, and some others that are backdated due out this year. So there's a lot coming. I think, I have 9 books out this year. It's crazy.
Perfect. And if people want to catch you in person, they can do so this Friday, April 18th, at the Rain Magazine launch. Once again, that is in the Toller Lobby, third floor of Toller Hall at Clatsop Community College from 2 to 5 p.m.
Absolutely. Thank you
Free
so
event,
much,
Asher. Open to the public. Thank you, Kama, for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been great.
Great. Thanks for tuning in to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria. Again, we are a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers in the literary arts in Astoria and the Lower Columbia region. You were just hearing from me, your guest host, Asher Finch, as I talked to Kama O'Connor, an instructor at Clatsop Community College, romance novelist, poet, and a gem here in the Astoria community. River Writers is aired the second Monday of every month at 9 a.m., and we provide a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing, where we talk about what motivates writers, what they learn through their creative practice, and who they are as people. Once again, thank you for listening.